Welcome to the Brand Thomas Podcast with Louise Duffy, the podcast which introduces you to the people behind the brands from the world of fashion, beauty and beyond. In today's podcast, I'm delighted to be joined by one of Ireland's most notable fashion and lifestyle bloggers, Erica Fox, otherwise known as Retro Flame. From a small town in Kerry, she's now based in New York, and she has an incredible following of almost 150,000 followers on Instagram alone. Her name has appeared on lists like the top 20 New York style bloggers and the top 40 US digital influencers. I'm Louise Duffy, and this is the Brand Thomas Podcast. Hi, Erica.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It's great to see you again.
Well, it's lovely to have you here. So you're here for a very special style event in Brand Thomas with Kaylin.
Yeah, so we're here for an event, an autumn winter workshop today with my sister Kaylin. So we're going to be hosting a mix of fashion and beauty, and we get to meet obviously some of our followers, which is always such a treat. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it should be a great day.
So you come from a very stylish lineage. Your mum is always impeccable. We see her a lot on your Instagram. So was Brand Thomas somewhere that you spent a lot of time when you were growing up?
Definitely. Probably more so the Cork Brand Thomas, yeah, because we're from Kerry. And I remember, I actually have such memories of maybe like once a month, we would leave on a Saturday morning at the crack of dawn, like 6 a.m.
Your shopping day. I'm from Mayo, we did
day.
It too.
It's like the country shopping day. And we'd be in Cork for 9 o'clock, parked. And honestly, a lot of the day would be spent in Brand Thomas, you know, just browsing and trying things on. And my aunts would come with us.
It was great.
Oh, the best. Really the best. So now that I get to actually be in Brand Thomas in Dublin and you know, hosting events, and this is my third one I think at this stage, and it just the novelty never wears off. So it's fantastic to be able to do it, definitely.
And so if you were to do a supermarket sweep through Brand Thomas, like, can you just imagine, big trolley, where are you going?
I was actually just walking in, we just arrived about 10 minutes ago, and straight away those Max Meyer coats on the way in on level one.
I know,
both me and Kellen stopped in our tracks. I need to invest in one of those coats ASAP.
And where else would you head to? I'd be down at Chanel. Yeah, fire everything in.
Definitely the bag and the shoes and the accessories. That's my weakness when it comes to fashion. I think always growing up and over the last couple of years, especially since I moved to New York, I've really tried to invest into my accessories. So Chanel, Dior, Celine, any of them would be fine.
You feel that trolley quickly. But I feel that's a smart way to do things, you know, because we're very... The way we consume now and the way we're influenced really is we see something and before you know it, you click and you've bought, you know, and that's the way Instagram has made our lives that easy, if we want to call it easy, that dangerous perhaps. So I think it's quite smart the way you shop and the way you openly speak about how you invest, because you think about something, it's a considered purchase, might be more expensive, but I always think, you know, you're not buying 100 little things, you're buying that one proper piece.
Totally. And that's kind of always been like, as long as I could have, since I could afford it, that's been the way that I've shopped. And I definitely got that from my mom as well, because even growing up, even that she wasn't maybe buying, you know, Chanel or, you know, big designers, she was always investing in brands like Karen Millen or Reiss, that kind of like middle ground. And I think from the get-go, I really saw that quality wins out every time. And she would wear that same shirt or same pair of jeans so many times, and I think, you know, subconsciously then I just saw that. And then when I got to the stage where I was able to start investing into things, I really focused on buying, you know, that one black bag that I would wear every single day, you know, going to my first job in New York or, you know, on my blog or whatever it was. And it's just definitely stood to me since.
And you
then.
Still have them?
Still have them. Mm. All the designer bags I've bought, I think definitely 90% of them anyway, I still have them. I might have maybe sold on one to invest into another or whatever.
Okay, but do you do that often then?
Do you
kind of buy into that idea of circular fashion, like selling before you buy, or
I think so. Yeah, it depends. Like if I buy a really classic piece, like my Chanel Boy or, you know, Dior Saddle or something like that, like it's very hard to part with those. But I think if you are buying something that maybe not so much trendy, but just something that you aren't getting enough wear out of. So if I have a bag and I don't find myself reaching for it, you know, at least once a week, mm-hmm. that's when I'm like, okay, I think that this should go, and then I can, you know, invest into something yeah. else instead. And I think it's really important to constantly edit your wardrobes and your accessories, because it just keeps it exciting for you as well. And you can yeah. kind of, you know, you can kind of justify it, I guess.
So the last couple of years for you, Erica, have been incredible, and there's been huge growth in your business. Now, that doesn't happen by accident. It happens by very hard work and that very special appeal that you have, but also by being innovative. So is that entrepreneurial streak, where did that come from?
Yeah, so I think it's kind of always been in me
yeah.
a little bit. When I was in school, I was actually one of these people, I was very into school. I studied, yeah. did all that kind of stuff. And then when it came to going to university and going to college, I actually really did want to do fashion. But I think at the time, I remember speaking to career guidance teachers or whoever was around me really, and all they would tell me about was fashion design. Mm-hmm. And I could not even draw you a stick man if I had to write the second. So that was never going to be an option. So I kind of forgot about the idea of fashion. And I instead just did a business course. I did commerce in NUIG. So I think that really gave me such a good foundation. And then I actually went on to do more fashion business courses when I found mm-hmm. them. And I think that was such a good, you know, stepping stone. So from there, we did entrepreneurial classes in that course. And then okay. I started the blog while I was in college. So I think without even realizing it, I kind of was molding myself into an entrepreneur, I suppose yeah. you'd call it. And then moving to New York, you have to be an entrepreneur.
You do to get on.
There's no choice. Like, you obviously, you know, can go into your jobs or whatever it is. And I did work full time with the fashion brand when I moved there first. But, you know, I was still doing Retroflame on the side. And there's that real, I don't love the word hustle, but there is that real hustle there. Yeah. And it teaches you and you learn really fast. And I think it's a good skill to have.
Yeah,
definitely.
So you started really before being an influencer or a blogger was a job title. Now it's an aspiration for so many people. So you had that foresight. So what do you think then the future holds for a precarious business like this, you know, that you've really settled into and you've done so well in? What do you think the future holds?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think that it's something that I think about all the time. Yeah. I'm definitely a planner. I'm a Virgo. So all I do is plan
yeah.
for the future and overthink everything. So, you know, I got into this industry, I won't say by accident, because, you know, it started as a hobby and it turned into a business, but I didn't start it as a business. So a little bit by accident, but obviously the work came in the middle. But now it's kind of coming to the stage, and you know, I've been doing it for 7 years, like hobby for 3 years and then full time for four. So I think now I'm at the stage where I'm like, what's next? And there's lots of different things I'm doing to kind of prepare for that, because like any industry, we're never sure how long it's going to last. Yeah. And I think that people will always like to follow on Instagram or social media or keep up with us. But I do think it's super important. So, for example, I just started a new subscription.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about that. That's so interesting. And I think, you know, that's, again, we come back to that word innovation. Like, that is really, you are future-proofing yourself with something like that. So tell us what that entails for you and your viewer.
Yeah. So just as a background, I started my blog Retroflame 7 years ago. And on that, I would just write articles. I would share my outfits. That's just how it all started, me and probably 100 readers, if even. And then I guess fast forward through the years, you know, Instagram came, YouTube, and all my time got taken up. So recently, about 4 or 5 months ago, a company in New York, they're actually based, they got in touch and they were launching this new subscription platform where basically they wanted someone like me who started like writing and they wanted to kind of bring that back on a subscription platform. So how it works is that once a month now I'm going to be writing exclusive content for this subscription service, and there is a fee. I kept it as small as I could for the beginning because obviously it's new and I didn't ever want it to be expensive. It's exclusive content. So for the first 5 months I'm doing a series called My Story, and it's kind of like an interesting one, I guess. And I'm going to break it down into different sections. So the first one was all about my career story mm-hmm. and kind of what we were talking about, college and jobs. I really go into in depth in that. And I really pinpoint in my opinion, the game changing things that happened. Yeah. And when I look back, you know, certain things I did that helped so much, and I didn't even realize it at the time. And then next month, we're going to talk more about like finances and the business of blogging. Mm. There's going to be a month about actually relationships and right. that side of things as well, and my life. And I think how that played a part in things as well. And then we're going to talk about moving to New York, moving to a new yeah. country, and then also talking about wellness. And I guess like how I deal with, you know, being in the public eye.
Absolutely.
And for anyone who's getting into this, I guess telling them things that I wish someone had told me back in the day.
It's a very important conversation, because there's a couple of things there that you will cover that go across industries. So even if it's moving to New York, that could be if you're moving to New York as an accountant, as a bartender, like that will appeal to a lot of people. Exactly. There's lessons in there without making it too
there
nerdy.
Is.
There really is. And there's
so
important information.
Yeah.
But then on the wellness, like mm-hmm. is it hard? Is it hard to deal with? You know, you probably can't walk any street in Ireland without people knowing you and recognizing you, and even Kayla now, and your mom,
yeah.
and Vogue, the little dog. We know you all.
How do you
manage that? Because it's not the way you grew up.
Yeah. So as you mentioned at the beginning, we're from a very small village
yeah.
in Kerry, and you know, it really is not how we grew up at all, being in front of the public eye or whatever it was. So I think when it did start to happen, I was like, whoa, this is crazy. But at the same time, it's also amazing because, for example, at the moment we live in New York, so we only probably come home, you know, 3-4 times a year. And those are the times that I actually get to meet the people who
yeah.
I'm chatting to online, or who have commented on my video, or they've sent me a DM or whatever it is. So as much as it can kind of be a tiny bit overwhelming sometimes, I always just try to remind myself that, you know, we're so lucky that this is happening. And obviously once people are nice, and you know,
yeah.
sometimes you might get some rude people or whatever it is, but
that affects more, doesn't it? How
yeah.
do you overcome that?
Yeah, so negativity online. And you know, I have to say I'm very lucky. I would say 90%, as you said, of the people who follow me are so supportive. So many of them have been there from the beginning, since mm. the blogging days. And you know, I really try my best to focus on that, because as you said, that one message, you think about it for a week.
Yeah.
And some, you know, back in the day I used to let it get to me, and it would affect me, and it did affect my mind, and I would look at things different, and then I'd be scared to maybe show something that I always would have shown, because
yeah.
I was worried about what people would say. But it kind of came to the stage, and I think my sister actually helped me a lot with this, because she's tough.
She's great.
And it's great to have her with me, and she's just like, Erica, you know, everyone gets this. It's normal.
Yeah.
It's never going to stop. You could be doing everything right mm-hmm. and they're still going to find something. And I think that's just the way it is. And mm-hmm. I think in a way moving to New York has helped a lot, because over there people are super positive
yeah,
and
yeah.
encouraging, and you could be doing anything and they'd be like, okay, you go
do
for it.
It. Yeah,
you
yeah,
do
yeah.
that. Yeah. So I think that has really helped a lot. And just trying my best to focus on, as you said, the positives, and forgetting about the one or two mm-hmm. negatives.
Well, you have a lovely natural approach about it all. And, you know, you talk about your YouTube videos. And I think what's really nice about your videos is how natural they are. And I just feel like I could have visited your house and you're showing me around. So I was saying, we've just done up our house. And if anyone comes in, I'm like, we still need to get that in the corner, and that needs to go there. And I actually see that in your videos.
Yeah.
It's like you were just talking to one person, and I just,
totally.
There's a real familiarity there, and it's very comfortable and comforting almost to watch. You feel like you're
yeah.
in a pal's house. So is that a conscious effort, or is that just that's just the way you are probably?
I think it's probably, yeah, I think it definitely is just the way I am. I think since I've started Retro Flame, I've just really always tried to stay the same person as
yeah.
I was, you know, from Glenmay and Kerry, a small village. And I think that that's so important, and even moving to New York as well. And as you said about the interior series, it's a new one on my YouTube channel, and we moved to a new apartment as well. And
mm-hmm.
when you're in New York, it's just everything's a stress.
Yeah.
Getting the apartment and then decorating it, and everything's super expensive, and it takes time, you know. So I figured, instead of just doing it all myself behind the scenes and then showing them this beautiful room at the end, like everything finished, you know, perfect and decorated, I figured I would show them the process and
yeah.
show them the disasters that happen. And I ordered a rug 3 times, 3 different rugs. They weren't working. And, you know, I showed that because that's what we all go through. And I think that hopefully is the reason why people do connect with me and they, you know, continue to follow, because at the end of the day, we all go through the same
we do.
Struggles.
But then I think that must be tricky for you too, because, you know, if we follow somebody, we kind of want to know it all, and we want to know about the ins and outs of their life and the struggles and the high points. And so for you on your blog, it covers fitness, lifestyle, New York, fashion, obviously. At what point do you have to draw the line and say, well, this is not going out there? How do you switch off? Because, you know, I'm not a blogger, I'm not an influencer, but I still feel like when my time on my phone comes up that I have to block it. I don't want to know how much time I spend on my phone.
No.
It must be very hard for you to ever leave your gadgets down and just say, okay, I'm turning off the world now and just being myself.
Yeah, that's probably overall the hardest part. Mm. And even on our email, like, I never ever put on an out of office. I just never ever do it.
You're at home for a month and you're working solid.
You're still
really
working. Yeah. And even with this trip, I think this trip has like almost highlighted that I need to get better though, because, you know, I came home and obviously I want to see my family, and we have a huge, huge family in Kerry. And by the time you see everyone, you know, you want to have enough time. And I kind of came home with a few jobs lined up. And then, you know, before I know it, I had double that. And that's just me, because I'm a worker at the end of the day, and I love getting the chance to do events and meeting my followers and everything. So I think maybe I need to get better at saying every now and again, and maybe just saying to myself, okay, it's Saturday, I'm not going to work, my phone's going to stay in my bedroom or whatever it is. And I think that's the only way, because...
And just to be present in the moment is really important. You know, to enjoy that special time with your family and your partner. And
exactly.
It is important.
I think Tommy, my boyfriend, actually is probably the best thing for me, because he's not on... he is on Instagram, but barely uses it.
Yeah.
So I feel like when you're with people that maybe aren't as into it, it's the best, because they're not on their phones, and then you're not on your phone, because, you know, you'd be rude if you are.
Absolutely.
So I think that's the key, having those kind of people around you as well.
We do like the Tommy cameos though. They're good. Keep them coming. So you are a worker, and I know your motto is the harder you work, the luckier you get.
Yes.
But I feel with you, it's more hard work. You know, luck doesn't really come into it. You had a very clear direction and you've worked very hard to achieve that. Is it hard for you then, as you go along, when particular brands approach you and they might be they might offer a very exciting package, and, you know, with your various channels, but they might not suit you. How do you say no to things?
Yes, that's been something that thankfully I've been very strict with myself since the beginning. And, you know, being here at Bron Thomas today, it's kind of just things really do come full circle. And, you know, this was always my dream brand to work with. Like, ever since I started, it was Bron Thomas in Ireland or nothing. You know, that's what I wanted to get to. But, you know, you don't get to work with, you know, a certain type of brands if you're kind of, I suppose, aligning yourself with a different kind of brand, if
with
that makes
everything
sense.
Everything that comes in the door, really.
Yeah. So you really, in order to get the high quality things, I think in any job or in any industry, and especially this one, you have to think to yourself, okay, if I work with, you know, A, will B think that I'm the right fit for them? You know, it's different price points, it's a whole different like image, everything. So I think having that, you know, thought, having that thought in your head and keeping that in mind from the beginning, and like not being scared to say no, because you have to say no things.
Well, that takes strength, you know. Particularly, you talked, and Caitlin has spoken about the difficulty in making it in New York, and you know, the hustle is real. It must be very hard then when somebody knocks on your door to say, no, I'm good, thanks, I'm going to hang on for the brand that might hopefully perhaps come up down the line.
Totally. And that's the hard part for sure. But what I've learned over the years is that it does pay off. At the time, you think to yourself, am I being absolutely crazy, Erica? Like, take the money. You have rent to pay in Manhattan. But at the end of the day, it's always paid off. And I guess that's where it does come in as well. We talked about the subscription service and having the YouTube channel and not just relying on one thing to make your money. So like, I don't just rely on sponsored posts on Instagram. So I can afford then to say no to the ones that I know aren't a good fit and that I know my followers won't appreciate. So then, you know, I have other sources coming in. I think that's very important too.
So what you do is a little different too. You're one of our most recognizable influencers. I wonder, what do you describe yourself as when you meet people for the first time? You know, if somebody, in the unlikely event that somebody doesn't know Erica Fox, how do you describe yourself? Because I've said blogger, influencer, I kind of feel either of those titles don't do you justice. You're a collaborator, you're an entrepreneur. What's your job title as you describe it?
Yeah, this is always a tricky one.
Yeah.
Because in New York, we meet people all the time that, you know, we wouldn't have met before and I wouldn't have met before. And it's a conversation that I almost hate having. You know, when you meet someone, they're like, so, and in New York, it's the first question everyone asks.
Of course.
They want to know who you are, what you do.
They're just so open. We still tiptoe around it here.
Yeah,
we're like,
straight away in New York, they're to the point. So yeah. I have had to kind of, you know, tune out my answer. And I still do say, you know, content creator, because at the end of the day, I do create content for YouTube and I Instagram every single day, you know. So I say content creator, but also I really tie in the fact that, you know, I work with brands. Like I work with brands to help promote their products or their launches or whatever it is. So kind of advertising, I say sometimes
okay.
that's the easiest way for people to understand.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because they get
it. So on those brands then, and this is a tricky question, because you have collaborated with some incredible brands, what's the most exciting one that you've had to date?
Exciting to date. Obviously Brand Thomas.
Yes, of course.
And especially because we're here today. Today's been, I'm very, very excited about.
But even within Brand Thomas, there are so many incredible names that you've worked
with. We did one before actually with Michael Kors, and that was really cool. That was like, must have been about 4 years ago at this stage. And I remember that was my first real designer that wanted to work with me, and I was like, oh my god, like I remember ringing Tommy being like, Michael Kors wants
Tommy's
to do
like, who?
Yeah, Tommy's like, okay.
Where's he from?
So I think that always stands out to me. And honestly, any of the brands I worked at the beginning, like, I still remember them, like whether it's small brands or just brands that took a chance on me. And I guess in New York too, like, I just recently did a feature with the New York Post.
I saw it, yeah.
That was one of these moments, even like, it's still, you know, is surreal to me that they would want to come and shoot my apartment that was not finished, by the way.
That's so exciting though.
Yeah.
God, the pressure to get those rugs in.
I know. So I think things like that, it still feels great. And I guess I have so many brands kind of, you know, on my dream list that I still want to work with. Like obviously the Chanel's of the world and the Dior's, whether it be beauty or whatever it is. But yeah, there's a lot
been a
to
lot.
Go. Yeah,
well, there's been a lot of, but as you say, the future is really exciting too. On brands, you have fine-tuned the brand that you are, and you've been very concerted in the direction you've taken. So is there an Erica Fox brand in the future? Is e-commerce a direction you're going to go down?
Yes, hopefully.
Okay.
That's definitely in my plans. And it's something that I've been thinking about a lot. But I think why I haven't done it just yet is that I never really want to be an influencer who kind of just does it for the sake of it.
Yeah.
You know, I think if when I do start a brand, it will be separate to Retroflame. Like obviously my followers there will hear about it and I'll be able to tell them about it. But I never want to kind of just have a spin-off, if that makes sense. So I've been thinking, and I actually am working on a few different things. I probably won't go into just yet, but you know, I'm working on a few things that will be very separate to Retroflame. So it will be its own.
See, now I want to grill you. I'm like, interiors, maybe interiors.
Maybe.
Oh, it's exciting,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, because I feel like my name, Erica Fox, can be kind of its own thing.
Absolutely.
Like,
Retroflame, it's a good
is
name.
Kind of like the baby, the younger.
Well, do you
sister.
Find yourself moving away from Retroflame then?
It's funny. I've had this thought a lot as well, and people have asked me, because my Instagram handle is still Retroflame.
Yeah.
And people, I kind of said to the people one day, you know, on a poll, should I change to Erica Fox? Like, am I kind of at that stage now, or should I keep it at Retroflame? And it's funny, it was very mixed. Some people were like, no, don't move away from it, it's you. And then some people were saying that, yeah, maybe it's time, you know, it's 7 years on. But I think what I probably will do is just kind of start a new thing with Erica Fox. So I'll still have Retroflame as like my content creation kind of platform as such, my Instagram, my YouTube, everything. And then Erica Fox hopefully will be the next step.
Okay.
That makes sense.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
So let's talk about New York a little bit then. You know, I know that you and Kaylin just recently got your visas through. I know the guys are working on it. Is that something that really hangs over you when you live in New York? Like, you know, that kind of uncertainty over the future when you're waiting on someone to stamp a piece of paper for you?
Oh, 100%. And this is actually my fifth visa.
Yeah.
And every single time, the same fears, the same worry walking into the embassy. Because at the end of the day, that's just one person that could change your life forever.
Yeah.
Like if they say to me in the morning, no, you're not approved, then I have to uproot my life from New York that I've spent so long building. So I think it is a worry. It's a constant worry. So the fact that we just got 3 more years is like winning the lotto.
Yeah.
Because the years fly by, but within those 3 years, you can work on your next step at least.
Okay.
And fortunately, I've had so many friends who haven't got their visas.
That's
and
tough.
You know, seeing that really makes me even more grateful and more appreciative that we were able to get it, because I know how hard it is now, and especially with the new administration and everything, it's just much harder than it was when I moved there 5 years ago. So hangs over you. Yeah,
it does. And your business is very much it's the two industries,
totally.
You know, the two markets, the States and Europe. So how do you manage? They're two different markets. How do you manage that?
Yeah, so they're definitely 50-50. You know, the work is very divided, and I've actually been really happy about that, because when I moved away from Ireland, I guess I was a little bit worried that, okay, everyone's going to forget about me and the brands won't want to work with me. But luckily, it's almost like the relationship with my followers have gotten stronger, and they've kind of come with me, so that when I do come home and I work with brands, they're more interested than ever, because they don't get to see me, I suppose, very often, which is great. And then on the other side, working with the US brands. So it took a while to get, it takes a while to get your name out there for sure in the US. There's so many influencers and YouTubers, and every day there's new ones. And, you know, my following wouldn't be that big in, you know, New York or the US, but I'm kind of at this good, happy medium there, where I'm not so much a micro, but I'm not, you know, in the millions or in the 500,000. It's kind of like this middle ground. It's this middle ground that people say is actually a very good ground to be in at the moment.
Okay.
Because they say for the million followers, you know, often they don't convert as many sales as someone like me would convert, because my followers are more interested.
Well, they're more personal to you.
More personal.
I would imagine that there's a closer relationship, because you can get back to people if they get in touch. And
totally.
Yeah.
It's more like I'm your friend rather than someone that you're following.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's been great. And I'm just with a new agency for the last couple of months now. And they're really saying that where I am is a great place to be. And there's a lot of us kind of in that area. Mm. And it's great, because there is a lot of work there at the moment. Hopefully it will keep going. Yeah. And it's great to have both markets to work with.
And so then you talk about the agency that you work with. An agency, you are a business, you have created a business, and it's been a very successful one over the past couple of years with constant growth. So what is that business? I know Kaylin works with you, an agency, is that it, or are you growing?
Yeah, so Kaylin's with me full time, and then we have the agency as well, who help us with all the US work. And then as well as that, we have an intern sometimes in the week. We also work with different photographers on specific projects, and then also sometimes videographers. So even though that it's just me and Kaylin together all the time, we do sometimes get to see other people, and it kind of breaks it up. And like me and Kaylin, I don't think we could spend any more time together.
So what's it like then working with her all the time? I mean, does it ever get to the point where it's like, go home? Because you're doing your 9 to 5 together.
Yeah. And you know, Kaylin's the kind of person that she would stay working until 9 o'clock at night.
Right.
So it comes to 7 o'clock in the evening, and we work from my building. We have kind of an office area where I live, and I have to force her to go home to have dinner.
But then it's your sister, and you probably want her to hang out in the evening.
Yeah, so we try as much as we can. Like when we finish work in the evenings, we'll try and, you know, have our separate space, and she'll go off home, and I'll obviously be with Tommy. And then at the weekends, we all hang out together. So we're like a little mini package that never
you come as a package, the four
do.
Of you. Oh well, look, it's just so enjoyable watching your content, and I think the future is just so exciting, particularly that line that you're going to tell us about soon. It's so lovely to chat to you, and we're so excited to see what the future holds. Erica, thank you so much.
Thank you so much too, it was great.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Palmas podcast. If you like what you heard, make sure to share and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And follow us on Official Brand Palmas on Instagram for more updates.